Hello, friends. I first want to thank Reverend Marsh Agobert for inviting me to be with you today. It is good to be back as a guest speaker, and worshiping with you is filling me with joy. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov wrote, quote, "Joy is not incidental to the spiritual experience. It is vital," end quote. Spiritual work is joyful work, just like other types of work can be joyful, such as gardening and teaching. The spiritual experience does not happen without joy. What do you think Rabbi Nachman meant when he wrote that joy is vital to the spiritual experience? Any ideas? Please.
I think it means that it is essential, that is to say, you have no spirituality if you have no joy.
Oh, that you have, thank you, that you have no spirituality without joy. Mm-hmm. Two great leaders of our time, spiritual leaders of our time, His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama and Bishop Desmond Tutu, are well known for their joyful outlooks, even as they have faced despair. They know well that joy nourishes us on our spiritual path. Being joyful is an internal way of being, or an attitude, not something that is predicated on external events. One may be an inherently joyful person and still experience great sadness. The blurb about this service mentioned that joy and sorrow are two sides of the same coin. This is a model that can sometimes explain our grief about a loved one who died. Being with that person when they were alive may have brought us great joy. When they die, that loss brings with it a corresponding depth of sorrow. We also experience joy when we think about them and reminisce about words they said, their annoying habits, and their endearing qualities. We then may loop back into sorrow as we feel the loss of those qualities. Oftentimes, we feel sorrow and joy at the same time. The two can be inextricable. We find a deeper joy in experiencing the sorrow of loss. That person was so meaningful to us that our heart expanded, and it continues to expand as we heal from that sorrow. That expansive heart allows us to continue to love and begin new relationships with an awareness that they are impermanent. That joy is an attitude means that it is accessible to all of us, not just high-profile spiritual leaders. Even if we think of ourselves as glass half-empty people, we can adopt simple spiritual practices, such as mindfulness exercises, that will increase our joy. As our joy increases, our hearts open in compassion, and we may lose our pessimistic outlook. In its place, we feel all emotions more greatly. We find ourselves both laughing and crying more easily. As days continue to shorten, as the nights lengthen for the next month, slowing down is our biological tendency. Is there anyone else here who has noticed that they've needed more sleep time in the last couple weeks? Yeah, me too. This is the ideal time of year for introspection and mindfulness. In our extroverted and consumer culture, introspection and mindfulness are countercultural, even and perhaps especially during this season. We often feel an expectation to do the opposite, to spend as much time as possible shopping for winter holiday gifts, to attend as many holiday celebrations as possible, and to overindulge in food and drink. So I'm not here to tell you to refrain from buying gifts or from attending celebrations. I'm especially not going to tell you that if those activities bring you joy. Giving is known to increase joy, as is being connected to others. I am here to invite yourself the gift of increased joy. I invite you to go inside yourselves and adopt practices that will increase your joy. So let's do a simple mindfulness exercise now. I invite you to sit comfortably in your chairs with your back as straight as is comfortable for you. I invite you to soften your gaze or close your eyes if that's comfortable. As I ring the bell, I invite you to focus on the sound of the bell until you can no longer hear it. I will then ring the bell 3 times, and again, I invite you to focus on the sound until you can no longer hear it. Thank you. Maybe there might be some cynical people here, or not cynical, but maybe you think that the talk of joy is rather superficial. Why focus on my individual well-being when there is so much suffering and terrible things in the world? Shouldn't I focus my energy to make the world a better place? And my answer is yes. Focusing your energy to improve the world is both worthy for the world and most likely will increase your joy. Shifting our perspective from our own individual suffering in order to recognize and feel compassion about the suffering of others causes our own individual pain to lessen. Working with others to end suffering can be a joyful practice in itself. And we also know that burnout is pervasive in activists. What will nourish you as you delve into the hard work of community organizing? How do you keep yourself from being pulled down from all the negativity that you face? What happens when you succeed? Do you celebrate? How do you celebrate? And what happens when your efforts seemingly fail? Can you see the small successes that occurred along the way? What new connections did you make? What relationships did you deepen? All of these bring joy into our lives, and if we already have a joyful outlook, they are easier to recognize. Focusing on increasing our joy as the nights lengthen will result in a longer-lasting commitment than seeking pleasure by satisfying cravings or by opening gifts. We are about halfway through National Gratitude Month. How many people are celebrating this month through a daily gratitude practice? Our responsive reading today, Open in Gratitude, was a guided meditation used in one of Buddhist teacher James Barres's Awakening Joy courses. Gratitude is the third step of 10 in Barres's Awakening Joy course, and the book for it, Awakening Joy, by James Barras and Shoshana Alexander, serves as a sacred text today. It can feel difficult or impossible to feel gratitude when we are facing difficult challenges. About 5 years ago, I was burning the candle at both ends, working full-time in a challenging job, attending seminary, parenting a preschooler, and training as a facilitator of conversations about racism. In my perspective, the management of my workplace seemed intent on making my job, my work, more difficult than necessary. Through discussions with my partner, I decided to quit my job. This was made possible by my partner doubling the number of hours he worked outside the home. I left in anguish. I had hoped to be employed at this organization through seminary, and I had many friends there. One of these friends told me that I would end up thanking my management for making my work life so difficult because it allowed me to open up the space to thoroughly embrace my new vocation. At the time, I did not feel grateful to my management, and I grieved the loss of that job for a long time. I was able to feel and voice gratitude to my partner, however, because without his support, I would have had to stay in that job longer. The summer following my job loss, I served as a hospital chaplain intern, which confirmed my call to healthcare chaplaincy, a joyful and encouraging confirmation. That experience was only possible because I left my job, and my management was the only reason I brought up the possibility with my partner of leaving my job. I can see now that my friend was right, and I am grateful to have been pushed to change my circumstances. Now, giving thanks for an obstacle is one of the more challenging gratitude exercises. I invite you to join me in a simpler exercise. I will ring the bell and give you time to think of something or a person for which you are grateful. Allow yourself to feel all the emotions that come up for you when you think about that thing or that person. And then I will ring the bell again to end the time. Now think of something for which you are grateful. Allow yourself to awash in all of the feelings that come up for you when you think of it or them. Thank you. I invite three people to just name what that was like for them. Christine?
It was great. It was positive.
Mm-hmm. Christine said it was great and it was positive. Thank you. And I saw one other hand. Okay.
It was heartwarming.
Mm-hmm. Heartwarming. Thank you.
It was empowering.
It was empowering. Great words. All right, thank you. So during this time, we have practiced increasing our joy by practicing mindfulness through listening to a bell. We have also shared what we are thankful for. What are you doing now that increases your joy? How can you deepen those practices? What are you not doing that you know would increase your joy if you did them? What obstacles do you need to remove in order to do the practices that will increase your joy? May we continue to strengthen the joy in ourselves.